It just gets tougher.
But you can't think of it like that. The Suns within eight quarters of winning their first world championship. And it just gets tougher next year. Clippers will be better. Lakers will be better. Klay Thompson will be healthy. I'm sure Utah would like to prove why they were the number one seed. They had the best record in all of the NBA. Don't forget about them. The only team you kind of assume might take a major step back is Portland. I don't think Damian Lillard will be there. I think there's going to be some massive changes there, but the Warriors might just take their place because Golden State should be right back. So where are the Suns? Where are they going to go? Burns and Gambo yesterday talking to NBA insider Ramona Shelburne.
I don't think they'll be favored next year. I think the Lakers will probably be favored. Let's see what happens in free agency and the draft and trades. I think it's going to be a kind of a active offseason. I think there'll be a lot of reshaping going around along the league. But right now, I think they'll probably be like second or third co-favorites in the West.
Okay.
Because remember, the Clippers would be out there with them, but Kawhi's going to miss a lot of it. You know, I don't think he'll be back for 6 to 9 months.
You know, the positive, or the one feeling about what she says is, you know, they're not going to be favored. Well, I think we learned from last year, who cares?
Yeah, right, exactly.
The negative of this is there are now zero NBA teams who will take the Suns as a joke. They're not sneaking up on anybody now.
Yeah.
So you never get the benefit of, oh, it's just the Suns. They're, you know, we'll be fine.
But don't you think, Douglas, at some point in time near the end of last season, the regular season, most people understood this is not the same Phoenix Suns team?
I believe that, but by that time, they already had a 700 winning percentage.
No, I'm just saying, at some point in time, I don't think it took an entire season to get the league's attention.
Mm-hmm.
I think they had to actually make a playoff run to get the league's attention, and that's exactly what they did. They made a run and went as deep as you can possibly go without winning the whole thing. Getting to a game six in the NBA Finals, as we all know. I mean, that to me, that was just such testament to the toughness, the tenacity, and the talent that the Phoenix Suns have. Now, the question is this, is it sustainable?
In the aftermath of the loss to Milwaukee in Game 6, PJ Carlesimo, who's a great former college coach, he also coached in the NBA. He works for ESPN. Now, you might see him if you're an ASU fan. He does some Pac-12 hits as well on Pac-12 Network, said,
Not going to surprise me at all. I don't want to put it on Monty's shoulders already, like, what, an hour after they get to Game 6 in the finals. But if they keep this team together, and particularly CP, I think they need right now, they need Chris to be a part of this. And, you know, I think this Phoenix team, they didn't do it with mirrors. They had the second-best record in the NBA this entire year. So everybody talks, well, they cut breaks. This guy got hurt against them. This guy got hurt against them. I mean, whose fault is that?
Exactly. Amen.
They did a great job, and they deserve to be right where they are, and I think they're here to stay. I'm not saying they're going to get to the finals every year, but I'm not going to be surprised if they have great success going forward.
The reason why I really like what he said there, a lot of people make it out to the Anthony Davis injury, the Kawhi Leonard injury, the Jamal Murray injury, and that has everything to do with the Suns getting to the finals. And on the one hand, of course, it's easier to get to the finals when major players are hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when people say that, they don't do it in the same reciprocity. That's a word I don't know what it means for the people that are healthy. Like if we're going to look at Kawhi Leonard for getting hurt, Anthony Davis for getting hurt, or whatever, why aren't we using that same amount of attention and say, look at what Chris Paul has done for himself mm-hmm. and for his organization over the last 2 years to make sure that he stays healthy? If you're going to say, hey, you got lucky because somebody got hurt, why aren't we saying, well, you know what, it's actually the pre-injury maintenance that people like Chris Paul does, and he supposedly has had a massive impact on individual Suns players,
right?
Then maybe that's why they stay healthy.
So would you ever consider load management with Chris Paul going forward? Would you ever consider that? I mean, honestly, just you know how Chris Paul feels about that.
I'm silent for a reason.
He did. I don't know. Exactly right. Chris Paul, I think, would say no way, no how, and I'm with him on that.
I hate load management, but why not gamble on the back end of a road back-to-back against Detroit?
Yes.
And you say, you know what? Just sit out.
Yeah, just sit out. I'm with you on that one right there. But again, is it sustainable for this Phoenix Suns going forward? I think it is. I really do. Listen, DeAndre Ayton, I'm telling you right now, I am bullish on this entire playoff experience. Especially when you're talking about a 22-year-old DeAndre Ayton. You're talking about Devin Booker, who's 24. Mikal Bridges, 24. Cam Johnson's 25. He's older than Devin Booker. Cam Johnson's 25. These guys right here are the nucleus, with Chris Paul, of course, going forward. I think this is sustainable because I think DeAndre Ayton next year, DeAndre Ayton's never going to be the same based on our needs. He's never going to be the same guy that we saw a year and a half ago. He's never going to be that guy again. This playoff run and the way that he upped his game, oh my goodness, once you're shown the light, are you really going to turn around and put yourself into a closet? No way is that going to happen with DeAndre Ayton. He is only going to get better from this point forward. I know what you can say about the finals. I know you can say he looked like a deer in the headlights. I know you could say that there's no doubt about it, Giannis abused DeAndre Ayton. DeAndre Ayton is going to get so much better for this experience. Now, again, will he take it to heart? Will he make it fuel for him that he can feed on when he's training as hard as he possibly can to go out and actually have a better season next year than he had this year? Can he do that? I believe that he can. The kid is coachable. He's open to criticism, and he takes it pretty well. Now do something about it. The older he gets, the more he matures. I think he will.
A lot of those answers of sustaining it is on Robert Sarver. We'll get into that in just a second. Text us your name and thoughts right now on anything to do with the Suns or the beginning of Cardinals training camp to the FanDuel text line at 620-620.
87 FM, Arizona's sports station. Doug and Wolf react to yesterday's D-backs game. D-backs Daily. Brought to you by America Roofing, Arizona's number one roofer, online at americaroofingco.com. For a free estimate or 10% off any roof repair, that's americaroofingco.com.
Very strange game yesterday. Diamondbacks a winner. They pull off the sweep. Both teams get a bases loaded walk for an RBI, but they showed some fight. D-backs down 1-0, and they get two runs and take a 3-2 or 2-1 lead. Then you thought disaster had struck.
There's a ground ball down to third. Escobar has it. Skip by him. And a run will score. Another runner around third. That man's going to come to the plate. Peralta's throw will not be in time. And the Pirates get the lead 3-2.
But later in the fourth, Diamondbacks are able to gain the lead on an RBI double from Nick Ahmed and a bases-loaded walk to Calhoun. And that's when Nogalski gets his bases-loaded walk. So it's now 4-4. So they've had the lead twice. They've come back twice. But they've blown two leads. And now we get the seventh. Welcome to the game, Underwood.
High drive to right, and the Diamondbacks get the lead back on a long home run by Paven Smith.
Next hitter, Dalton Varsho.
And there's a high towering drive, deep right field. Back onto the right fielder, and this one is gone.
It's got to start making you feel good with the young guys going yard.
I'm telling you, Paven Smith right now, I think you got a player right there. Dalton Varsho hacking away as well.
Yeah, Paven is still looking like he's on track to be the National League Rookie of the Year. And then the Diamondbacks finish it off.
And the 2-1 pitch. Fly ball into right. And there is Calhoun. He's got it. And the Diamondbacks won it. They have swept a three-game series over Pittsburgh today, as they beat the Pirates by a final score of 6-4.
That feels good. Now, three straight road games off today, and then day games at the Cubs Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
You've been listening to D-backs Daily on the Doug and Wolf Show. Brought to you by America Roofing, Arizona's number one roofer, online at americaroofingco.com. For a free estimate or 10% off any roof repair, that's americaroofingco.com.
There was an owner in sports yesterday that said he's willing to do whatever it takes to win. Do we want Robert Sarver to say the same thing? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The number one story of the day.
to give us that joy, man. I mean, we can't do nothing but celebrate this team. And that's what I'm doing.
It's been a dream season.
I don't think this is just a one-year deal. I think the future is really bright here.
This core group of players the Suns have right now, do they win a championship sometime in the next half decade or so?
Half decade or so? Sure. Yeah, okay. That's enough of a time frame.
Doug and Wolf's The One.
The One this morning. You can see it at ArizonaSports.com. Is really simple. It's a letter from Robert Sarver to you. And the main points of the letter are, we set out to bring an NBA championship home to the Valley, a goal you should expect every season. And the last two sentences, this is what a championship culture looks like. I can't wait for us all to share in the feeling of what a championship season feels like. No guarantees, but it sounds like a man that's holding himself accountable to give you what you want, and that is your team back. But right now, there are questions about whether or not he can do it.
Listen, this is a great gesture by Robert Sarver, but we can all agree that it wasn't unexpected, right? At some point in time, the owner is going to reach out to a fan base that has been totally awoken, totally alive and energized. There's no doubt about it. He's going to reach out to the fan base. That wasn't unexpected. But I believe this is sincere, what he is saying right now. And what I love, what grabbed me, the fact he had the audacity, the unmitigated temerity to actually reference culture in his letter. This is what a championship culture looks like.
I have heard him talk about it privately. And in the last couple of years, I've heard him talk about it publicly. And, you know, no matter how you feel about Robert Sarver, he has admitted that one of his biggest mistakes was not handling Joe Johnson well.
Mm-hmm.
And what that did to a up-and-coming Suns team early in his tenure. I don't know if these two situations are similar, but doesn't it feel like Chris Paul is that one key, that one linchpin, that one perfect piece to keep this thing going? And you're looking at the difference between a high 50-win team and a high 30-win team. I mean, is it fair to say Chris Paul affects 15 to 20 games by his presence and whether or not you're going to win them?
I think so.
And if you agree with me on that, I'm not saying Joe Johnson affected that many games, but it does feel like losing him cost you the chance to be a champion, and now he can talk about making that mistake in the past, but now he's presented with that opportunity. Now, please understand, Robert Sarver cannot force Chris Paul to sign anything.
Yeah.
Chris Paul has to opt in the next month, which means 1 year, $44 million, Suns would be thrilled. If he opts out, he's a free agent, go wherever you want.
Yeah.
And that probably means Knicks, Suns, or Lakers. From a basketball, purely basketball standpoint, my basketball opinion is that the Suns fit him the best.
Yes, I agree with that.
Now, what does he want? And then where do you come in, Robert, at convincing him, either financially or conversationally, that the Suns are the place for you?
Yeah, no, that is a great point, Douglas. Honestly, I agree with everything you said right there. There's no doubt about it. I think Robert Sarver has changed. I think he's seen the light right here. I think Larry Fitzgerald had a huge impact on Robert Sarver because of the friendship that these two men actually share. I would not be surprised in the least to see Robert Sarver go into the luxury tax in this situation right now. I think he's going to do everything he can to bring back everybody, bring them all back, and somehow, some way, make this team even better. The question is, how is he going to do that? Because you're absolutely right about Chris Paul. Chris Paul has an awful lot to say as to whether or not he wants to make this work or not.
Mm-hmm.
He is, in fact, the passer part two, I would say. He is the key that unlocks all doors for the offseason for the Phoenix Suns and what they're going to do. Now, we were talking about this earlier right now. I think Robert Sarver and the organization has got to approach Devin Booker first. There's a possibility of a two-year extension with Devin Booker. You've been talking about this because of Bobby Marks actually bringing this up. They've got to approach Devin Booker first. I think priorities are important right there. They have to have some type of conversation with him as to what he wants to do. I think that's where you start. And then it's Chris Paul. And Chris Paul is wielding an awful lot of power in this situation as to whether or not Robert Sarver can bring everybody back.
I can understand a lot of you disagreeing with me that you go to Devin Booker first, because he's got three more years left on the deal now. But in the NBA circles, whenever you're eligible for a contract extension, players look at you, as you would say, with a jaundiced eye.
Yes.
If you don't come to them and talk to them about it. And so Devin Booker's going to Japan. I kind of like the idea of, as soon as he gets back, or maybe through his agent now, hey, what does Devin want? Does he want to get his deal done first? Because he is the main guy, and we want him to know that. Or in order to keep him happy, does he want Chris Paul first? Mm-hmm. And to make sure we're bringing Chris Paul back? Because in the time we talk to you, maybe something happens with Chris Paul, and we don't want him mad at us for that. What makes you happy? This is, remember, the Suns are up 1-0. Against the Clippers,
yeah,
okay?
Right.
So they got a 1-0 lead against the Clippers going into game two. Robert Sarver was on CNBC with that 1-0 lead well before we knew this team was going to be eight quarters away from a championship, and in a sense, with a tie score in game six, one quarter away from forcing a game seven. And at that point, without the extra juice of a finals, Robert Sarver said,
$44 million is that going to be worth the price, Robert? I'm curious how you would make a decision like that for keeping someone like Chris Paul.
That's not a hard decision.
It's good to be in a position where you can say that's not a hard, a hard decision.
I know those numbers are kind of hard to fathom, for the general public. For me, he's been worth every penny of it.
He's been worth every penny of this opt-in option. May 17th, Burns and Gambo.
We will, not only try to keep things intact this summer, but we'll try to take another step forward and get better. And the way we'll get better is through continuing to develop our young players, and also through being active in free agency to get better players. We know that will take more money than this year, and that's okay. And we paid the tax 3 years before, and when you're at the point we are, you do what you can.
And now let's add one more piece, what you've been talking about. Burns and Gambo talked to Bobby Marks, ESPN NBA insider, yesterday.
Yeah, it's just a matter of what you want to spend, right? I think that's the big thing, and I think we've seen kind of the other side of it. You guys have seen the other side of it as far as when you're, the taste of being in the finals is you want that every year.
Yeah.
You want that every year. You do not want to be sitting in that lottery room in late May.
Let me just say this hypothetically, Doug Lease. What if, in fact, Robert Sarver could bring back everybody? The roster this year is exactly going to be the roster next year. Would you be okay with that? Would you be all right with that right there? He could bring back everyone that was on the roster this year. He's coming back next year, and that's exactly – would you like another go?
I can't answer that question because I want to see what Sticks does, Jalen Smith, in the Vegas Summer League, because you've got to get a backup center. And can he handle that? Or is he more of a stretch four and not really a true NBA five? I'd like to see what he does to determine what am I doing bench-wise.
He'd have to get so much stronger.
Yeah.
I
want to bring everybody back, but I want somebody to fill in Saric's role to be a true banger or energy five off
I'm
the
with
bench.
You. Hassan Whiteside.
I do love that. How about our good friend Eddie Johnson? How is he going to remember the 21 NBA Finals, and what's his confidence in getting all of these decisions that need to be made in basically about 3 weeks done, ready to go, and get you ready for the fact that the Suns start training camp in 2 months? Oh, my goodness. Eddie Johnson, next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Always happy when he says yes. Eddie Johnson just called in on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. He is the Suns color analyst on Bally Sports. And man, Eddie, before we get into basketball, I got to tell you, a vacation this year was leaving Phoenix after the show and driving to Chicago, Milwaukee, and Minneapolis. And I walked by Soldier Field. What did they do to that place? Oh, my gosh, does that look terrible.
Really? What happened? I haven't seen it.
You know the old refurbished, like the way that when they dropped the spaceship on the...
They didn't do anything else.
Just the old advancement of that place.
Man, please, I like that place right now. That place looked like, you know, the Park District owns that stadium.
Yeah, yeah.
And it looked like the Park District.
The outside, just where the pillars are, yeah. But then when you see the big frisbees that stick out the top of it, it looks like an ugly planetarium now.
Yeah, well, you know, I drive a Tesla right now, so you need to catch up to the
That's big time.
Man, Eddie, you know what's coming right now. You know what's coming. We haven't talked to you in a while, but at least I haven't. I can tell you that much, hanging out with the Amish. Your thoughts on the NBA Finals, and where do you begin on this? I don't want to direct you in any way, shape, or form. I want your thoughts.
Well, I mean, look, we had a chance, man. You know, I'd be lying if I didn't say that. The interview with Monty after pretty much surmised, you know, how close the Suns felt they were to winning a championship. But that's what makes it so tough. The marathon to get there and to actually cross the finish line is one of the most difficult things you can do in sports, in my summation. And what Milwaukee did was special. I mean, they did a reverse sweep. They won four in a row, which I would have never thought could happen to the Suns team.
Mm-hmm.
They had been consistent all year. They stayed out of losing streaks. They played tremendous in this playoff run. But Milwaukee found something in the series, and they took advantage of it. When Dario Saric went down, I think a lot of people didn't understand how important that was to have another big guy on the roster that could compete, that can be physical, that can take up some space in the lane. And when he went down, it put so much pressure on DeAndre to have to do it the entire series. It was somewhat of a disadvantage for him because Giannis, let's face it, he's not a prototypical center, even though he has center size. He moves like a two guard and very difficult to deal with. Even when Crowder guarded him, he would go around him. They call him the Greek Freak for a reason, and he really stepped it up, man. But Suns need to hold their head up high. They had a tremendous year. I didn't really be too down for too long because I remember last year when they did do well in the bubble, but it still did not create a playoff. And I remember the last 10 years where they didn't make the playoffs. And during this pandemic over the last few years, they actually gave us something here in Phoenix to wake up and think about, to finish work at the end of the day, turn on the TV and be excited about what was going on, the beauty of this team. And I think that's what we need to hold on to and look forward to the next coming years. That's all we can do right now because they lost to a very good team, a team that has struggled themselves over the years, the Milwaukee Bucks, with an MVP, a two-time MVP. And sometimes you have to go up that road, man, to be able to get what you want. And hopefully this team can stay together and they can continue to try.
Stay on that mode where you just went. Eddie Johnson joining Doug and Wolf, legendary sixth man. And that is this. There's an example on both sides. Mark Sanchez led the Jets to two AFC championship games, and everybody thought, hey, we're building something. Dan Marino got to a Super Bowl, I think his second year. Oh, we're building something. Never got back again. Yet there's Jordan. 7 years getting through Bird and then getting through the Pistons to build to six championships. And even the Bucks had to go through all of these playoff losses, people questioning whether Budenholzer could coach, and now they're world champions. How do you make sure the Suns are on the build to a championship path and not the 1 or 2 year and be done so quickly and it's all false hope?
Well, I think not to have a drastic changeover, right? I mean, if you got the same guys, then you're going to have that same belief. And that's what Milwaukee did. I mean, they didn't give up on, obviously, Giannis. They didn't give up on Chris Middleton. and they kept the fabric of their team with those guys, and they continue to try to put little pieces around them. To me, that's it. That's how you do it. And so I believe that's what the Suns are going to do. And for them, though, the advantage for the Suns is they have a multitude of guys that I believe is going to continue to get better and going to be good. You know, you look at Mikal Bridges, he's going to continue to get better. Cam Johnson, continue to get better. Ayton, he's going to continue to get better. We saw it right before our very eyes. Devin Booker's not in his prime yet. He is not in his prime, yeah. And he's devastating. They have the package to do it. And Chris Paul pretty much was the glue guy. He was the guy that brought it all together. So the key is obviously to keep that unit and to keep them together. And they'll come into next year humble. They didn't finish it, but they'll be focused against a bunch of teams in the West that's going to be very difficult to navigate. Mm.
Mm. Eddie, would you be shocked if, in fact, Chris Paul were not playing for the Phoenix Suns next year?
I don't want to think about that. I know what he brought to this team. He lifted them to a high level. You know, people need to understand, and I'm not saying you guys, people need to understand that he had a fantastic year. He had a fantastic playoff. He really did.
Mm.
He did something that was a first for him. He got to the finals. Right. He got to the conference finals. So this was a first for him. And what he did and what he had to fight through showed you the toughness of him. The shoulder in the first round, dealing with COVID, which none of us know how much that can linger in your body. And then he's dealing with something else. It was obvious something's wrong with his hand.
I've
never seen him dribble the ball and lose control of the ball by himself. Never.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'm sure that's going to come out, whatever it is. But he was fantastic, man. And I think, you know, everybody's so in a hurry and they're gung-ho to get a championship, and I get it. I was one of those guys. But I wasn't one of those guys when he struggled to say, oh, look at him. No. Because at the end of the day in this series, I think he averaged over 21 points a game. He shot over 50% from the field. He shot over, I think, 40 from 3 points. Okay, and he averaged almost 9 assists. Was it Chris Paul-like at the highest level that we saw in the closeout game against the Clippers? No. But it's hard to get to that level again when you're dropping 40-something and doing what he did at the end. I know the Suns have to do whatever they can to keep him, and Chris Paul has to be the decision maker there. But I would love to know and understand that he's still going to be here, because I think an addition of a physical presence next to DeAndre is what the Suns need.
Hey,
that was proven during the series. They just need to get a little bit more physical with bigger bodies, and those guys are out there. Okay, look what Bobby Portis did. He's not an all-star.
Yeah.
He's not a guy who's going to command starters minutes. But yet, that dude was the difference in this series. That 16 points he dropped in the closeout game, that's why they won. Not the 50 from Giannis. Because if Portis doesn't do what he does, if Brook Lopez doesn't do what he does at the end of the third quarter, we win that game. So that's what they had. That was their advantage, especially when Šarić went down. Had off to Frank Kaminsky, who came in and had a tremendous game in a situation where he didn't get many minutes. But that's what they needed.
Can I be a jerk? I mean, you're kind of used to me being a jerk, but I've got like 7 more questions. What are you doing in the next 10 minutes? Because we have a commercial to hit. Can you do
it? No,
you're the man. Thank you.
Right on, Eddie.
I don't know about you as a listener. We want more Eddie, and hopefully you're okay with that, because we got a lot of questions, Eddie. I love what he said a second ago, and I don't want this to go by the wayside. Devin hasn't hit his prime yet.
Yes.
All right, so what's next? More with Bally Sports color analyst of the Suns, Eddie Johnson, on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. You know, it's in this business, a lot of times you get a call, hey, will you come on the show? Yeah, sure, I can do it. But then when somebody asks you, hey, will you stay on and do another 10 minutes? That kind of gets annoying. And Eddie Johnson, nice enough to just say, sure, I'll do it. Probably doing it for Wolf, not me, but still doing it. That's cool of you.
Stop it.
Thanks, Eddie. I really mean that. Thanks for staying on.
That is not true, and you know that.
I know. I totally know it.
I was doing it for the producer.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Hey, you know, Aaron and Mitch deserve that love, but I'll let you embarrass me on the golf course anytime because I rarely break 100, so you'll enjoy the victory. You just said something that
– all around.
You just said something that I wanted listeners to be able to hear again and stay on for a while. If you just tuned in, Eddie Johnson was on the last beautiful part of the program, and he just slipped in there. You know, Devin Booker hasn't even reached his prime yet. And even though we know it, it's not something we really think about. Eddie, if you were his personal basketball coach, what's next? What would you have him work on after a little respite and relaxation after the Olympics? What's next for him as an NBA player?
Well, I think it's just really just shoring up all the things that we know he's capable of. We know he can score. He's one of the best scorers in the NBA. He does it at all levels in regards to scoring the ball. You know, his hero is Kobe, and it's Kobe-esque, right, where – you know, he can knock down the three. He's great at the mid-range. He can put it on the floor. He can attack the basket. He can finish against anybody. And he can play with his back to the basket. So it's nothing he cannot do on the floor as a basketball player. And so we know that's going to get better. But the other areas where he's really improved is his defense. I thought his defense in this series was really good, maybe throughout the playoffs. His rebounding can get better. I think he can be a much better rebounder than what he is. And his passing has gotten much better over the last few years. I mean, the way that he sees the floor has been tremendous. So
I really like your rebounding point. I'd like to see him do more coast-to-coast now that you mention it.
Yeah. So he's 24 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I know he came into the league as a young man, and I get that. But he's 24, and in the NBA, and if you say if he came in normally, like at around 20,
mm-hmm.
then, you know, at 20 years old, then he'd be about 26 right now. And in the NBA, if you just look back historically, guys on average, that's when they really take off, is when they're 25, 26 years old. He's 24 right now, and everything tends to just go clear for him, and he sees everything. So he's not all the way there yet, which is a scary thought for the opposition. But he is a special basketball player, man. He truly is. What he was doing in this series against, I think, the best wing defender right now in the NBA in Jrue Holiday was just simply amazing. This team is young, man. And Devin's going to be right there at the end. You know, I don't know how many more years Chris Paul has, but the education that he's given Devin and the knowledge that he's given him is just something that you can't pay for unless that person is right there, you know, 24/7 around you. And that's what Chris Paul is. And this is what Devin needed. Ricky Rubio started this transition for Devin, and I always want to give him his credit. And Chris Paul is taking it to a new level. And also, Mikal Bridges gets the dose of it now. Cam Johnson gets it. DeAndre Ayton, as we saw in the playoffs, he got it. And these guys are turning into men in regards to the NBA. And this organization is really set for the future, man, because we have a lot of talented players that are definitely professionals. These young men, you can tell when they're interviewed. You can tell how they carry themselves. That they're going to be very special for this organization for a number of years going forward.
We saw DeAndre Ayton get better every year now. Every year I think he's gotten better, but he took it to a whole new level, I would say, in this postseason. Which, Eddie, you know, to me as a former player, that is a big deal that he got better when the postseason came around right here. What do you see for DeAndre Ayton? Look into your crystal ball. What do you see for him in a year, and where can he improve?
He can be one of the most dominant big men in the game. He can. It's up to him. See, some guys get to the league and they just don't have the tools. and they so that physically they can't ever be that person. You know, if Shaq wasn't big like he was, you know, he would have never been that person. We've had guys that had ferocity like Shaq, but they were maybe 6'3".
Mm-hmm.
They played inside, and they didn't ever make it, right? You can go all down the history of the league at guys that was 6'8" and big guys, but they just weren't 7 foot in Shaq. DeAndre is 7 foot. He runs like a gazelle. He's quick. One thing I used to always say, once he learned how to catch the ball in traffic, he would be a monster. We saw the improvement there, and it still has to continue to get better. We said, okay, you got to get ferocious more, right? Treat that rim like it stole something from him. When he goes up and he attacks it, I think we saw improvement there. We saw him not hesitate on opportunities when he had them. During the playoffs, if somebody backs off of you and you're at 15 feet, shoot the ball. He's one of the better shooters at 15 feet for a big man in the league. So those areas are going to continue to improve. His maturity improved this year. And people, let's not forget, he's 22 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Big men improve slowly in the NBA. You know, they have to deal with a lot. Just understanding their body. I can tell you, at 50-something years old, a few years ago, I said, Eddie, you weigh too much. And, you know, I was carrying, and I won't even disguise it, I was carrying about 245, 250, and people didn't even notice it. And I was like, man, I just feel funny, right? And then I lost about, I'm down to like 226. And sometimes I feel like I can just jump up and fly like Superman. I got to get used to my body.
What are you saying that's wrong with weighing 250?
Yeah, why are you rubbing this?
I don't have any problem with me weighing 250.
There's nothing wrong with you weighing 250. I'm just using an example of how I feel like I'm floating now, and I got to get used to it again because sometimes I feel like I'm off balance. And that's what DeAndre, you know, has dealt with, you know, is that, you know, he's got to get used to his body. You know, he's got to get used to as he's getting bigger now. See, he's getting bigger. Mm-hmm. So now he's got to know how to carry it. You know, it's just a transition you have to go through. But, you know, no, Doug, I mean, if you want to be too fitted, you can be too fitted.
I'm good at it. Two things left. A, confidence level. That Chris Paul and Devin Booker are sons for the immediate future. And two, plug yourself on whatever you've got going, whatever you're selling, whatever charity you're involved in, because you just gave us two segments. We totally owe you a minute to talk to everybody about what's going on in your world.
I think Devin Booker and Chris Paul, they deserve one another. I'm hoping they stick. I think it's, you know, obviously up to, you know, Chris Paul. This is his opportunity as a businessman for, you know, to do whatever he needs to do. And I get it. I totally get it. But I think I feel like he's at a place right now that, you know, he's comfortable. You know, I think this is what he's been searching for. And I think this is what he desired, that he could have a team that listens to him. A group of guys that love him and want him to be there for them, and that's what I hope. I mean, I just think that's what's going to happen for him is that he's going to stay here and he's going to be a part of what this organization turns into, and he'll be looked at historically for doing it. He'll be looked at historically for, you know, taking this team to a level, man, that, you know, that it needed to be at. Mm-hmm. We've been trying this for so long now, and now we have a great opportunity to get this thing done. And I am so excited about the future of this team. I truly am. I just think what's going to happen here over the next few years, man, is we're going to get that success. And I think people need to understand that it's going to happen. And so that's where I sit right now. And as you well know, I do a lot of stuff for single moms in the Valley. And this upcoming October, we're going to have our normal event. encourage people to go to HelpingHandsForSingleMoms.org. That's HelpingHandsForSingleMoms.org. We're going to have our tremendous event that we have every year coming up in October at Talking Stick, and we're going to roast Jim McMahon. If you don't know who Jim McMahon is,
yep.
Jim McMahon is one of the most impactful football players that you ever seen. He was a Chicago Bear quarterback, the 85 Bears, and October 18th, and it's really the whole week we're going to be doing stuff, but we're going to roast that guy, and the 85 Bears will come in to roast him. We're going to have a golf tournament that weekend at Talking Stick as well. We're going to have a celebrity poker event, which the proceeds are going to be very good. The winner can win upwards of maybe 20 to 30 grand. We're going to have an old school party too. EJ might even be DJing. Okay. So it'll be a staycation for everybody here in October when it's hot, to get away for a weekend in town to see that roast go on with Jim McMahon. And I encourage everybody to take part in it. It's going to be a tremendous weekend.
I've been at one of those events. Eddie puts on a good show.
And who's going to be emceeing it for me?
Who?
I think I just got told to do something right there. You know, I'll do anything for you, Eddie. But let me clear with Jennifer, though. I can't make any decisions, but if I could do it, I'm there. We owe it to you. Thank you, Eddie. You're the best.
All right, guys.
There's a good friend of the show, even though we love to go back and forth with him, Eddie Johnson, joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. If you're in the market for a new or pre-owned Cadillac, you want CoulterCadillacTempe.com. Experience the difference. Coming up next, huge summer for the Suns. In a sense, a huge 9 weeks, which should be the first order of business. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.